tuition is only a part of the cost of going to post-secondary, university, college, whatever it is. There is a lot more to factor in. Textbooks, food, booze, public transit, living accommodations, all that stuff. So when you look at those calculators, sometimes you're not getting an accurate estimate on what it's really going to cost. We are going to focus on this topic. There's a calculator out there called the Money Pages Post-Secondary Education Cost Calculator. We're going to look at the numbers in more detail with Dan Bortolotti. He is a financial advisor with PWL Capital, the author behind the blog The Canadian Couch Potato, and most relevant to this conversation, he's a parent of grown kids. Hey, Dan.
Hi, how are you, Bruce?
You survived. Your kids have gone, they have left the nest. How did it go for you on the education savings front?
Well, it went really well. I mean, we were fortunate that we, you know, planned for this early on. We were pretty young parents, so we squirreled away a little bit of money as soon as they were born. And it wasn't a lot. I mean, we started with $30 or $40 a month, I think, we were putting away when the kids were very little, and that's all we could afford. As they got a little bit older, we squirreled away a little bit more. But by the time they got to university, we were able to cover pretty much all of their essential expenses, and they covered the rest with their own summer jobs and co-op jobs.
What would you say you learned from this experience now that they're, I don't know if they're fully through, but at least mostly through, aside from, wow, this is expensive, what do you think you learned that you could pass on to others?
Well, I think the first thing is that the calculators that are available online and the ones that you might get from a financial advisor, especially one who's trying to sell you investments, are a little bit misleading. And it's really important to kind of dig into the details, because one of the things I notice on these calculators is they often include things like food, public transportation, clothing, you know, things like that, that you're probably already paying for as a parent, right, when your kids are at home. And so this is not really an additional expense that you need to budget for in the future. The other thing is they often will lump in things like entertainment, you know, booze, you were saying at the beginning. And I think, you know, I'm more than happy to help my kids get through university, because I don't think it's really going to be affordable for most people without a little help, parental help. But I'm not paying for their booze.
I agree with you on that, unless, of course, you're invited and you man the keg.
Yeah, exactly. So, or I provide the entertainment myself.
Yes.
That's very inexpensive. So, you know, we looked at trying to make sure that we could cover tuition and books for sure. And we did help them with rent. But, you know, above and beyond that, most kids are able to do a little bit of work in the summer, and I was fortunate both of our kids did co-op programs, and so they made decent money in between those school terms, and that helped defray virtually all of their personal costs.
How do you think about the cost of tuition, given how wide a spectrum there is? So I was looking at some of the estimates on a business program at Ivy or Queens, $64,000 for the four-year program. And those costs really outpaced other, you know, general arts programs. How do you factor that variable in, given that tuitions, that the increase in tuition across the board, it well outpaces inflation?
Yeah, and it's a good point, too, that the amount of tuition varies widely depending on the school and the program, right? I mean, I had, you know, my youngest is in a college program, my oldest is in a university program, and the difference in tuition is quite stark. So you probably want to budget somewhere in the middle. If you're comfortable saving, you know, the higher amount, great. But if you're a bit worried about that, you know, don't necessarily try to save for the Ivy business education. You can try to save enough just for a sort of college level tuition, and do the best you can there. And again, if your child decides to take a program that's very expensive because it's going to lead to, we would hope, you know, a very lucrative career, then it's, I think, a little bit more reasonable to expect them to foot a little bit of that bill, because they're probably going to be coming out of school with a pretty high paying job. And even if they need to borrow a little bit, they will be able to do so and pay it back relatively quickly.
I'm a big fan of the RESP, the Registered Education Savings Plan, and the grant that comes along with that. The details of that program have not changed materially in the last little while. Even if you max out your RESP, is it going to be enough for most families? Like, if that's kind of the, you know, the measure, do you need typically? Do you need to save outside that?
Well, you might if you want to cover all of the expenses, right? But I did a little bit of math ahead of, you know, this discussion to kind of see that. And, you know, I looked, if you put in, say, $2,500 a year to an RESP, which is what you need in order to get the $500 maximum annual grant. And if you do that for 14 years and you earn about 3% return over that period, you should end up with somewhere in the mid-50,000s by the time your child is ready to go to university. And that's enough to pay kind of $13,000, $14,000 a year. And again, that should kind of cover the basics, tuition and books, and even a little bit of accommodation. It's not going to pay for every single expense. But it will get very close. And I think, you know, again, if you want to do a very expensive education and you want to pay for all of it, then you might need to save outside of an RESP. But I think any parent who's able to save, you know, that $2,500 a year, take maximum advantage of the grant and all the tax benefits that the RESP allows, I think you're doing a great job. You don't really need to shoot any higher than that.
How do you counsel clients through the question of where the incremental dollar should go? So they can eke out, let's say it's $100 a month. They are not maxing out retirement savings. How do you roll in the education savings into that discussion?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I mean, it's mostly a personal decision, but I would try to encourage people, for the most part, to put retirement savings first, if they must. The only exception to that might be, and this would be in a case like my own, for example. We had our kids fairly young. They're in university now. One's finished. One's almost finished. I'm still in my 40s. I've got enough time to catch up on my retirement savings because we prioritize those RESPs. If you have your kids a little bit later in life, and I've certainly seen it with clients who are approaching retirement themselves, still with kids who are 11, 12 years old, potentially saving in RESPs, I don't really recommend putting your own retirement income at risk so you can prioritize RESPs, because again, you kind of are running out of time, whereas your kids aren't.
Yeah. Right?
And they have other ways that they can fund their university education if it's not through you. And honestly, I don't know that parents really need to feel that they should pay for every dime of their kids' education.
Yeah.
They can't afford that. You know, it's their own lifestyle.
Yeah, for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. Even just having the child develop some resilience and focus for themselves. I have one last question here, and that is, what's your number one piece of advice as people think through the asset allocation? So they find the money, they can scrape away, you know, $100 a month. It goes into some sort of low cost vehicle. How should they be thinking about equity versus fixed income, or said another way, the level of risk that they take in that fund?
Yeah, so there's theory and practice here. I mean, one of the theories is that when your kid is very young, you can afford to take a lot of risk with the investments, and that makes sense in theory. But in practice, let's remember that an RESP is going to be a very small account for the most part, and it's going to be very small, especially when your kids are young. If you're only going to put in $2,500 a year max, and many parents aren't even putting in that much, does it really matter what your asset allocation is? I mean, do you really want to try to shoot the lights out with high returns when you've only got a couple of $1,000 invested? So my argument here is that I would rather keep the investments quite conservative and just keep them fairly conservative right until your kid is into high school. You know, 50-50 is a good allocation, half stocks, half bonds.
Dan, appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks very much. Dan Bortolotti is a financial advisor with PWL Capital and the author behind The Canadian Couch Potato.